at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The National Hurricane Center says people in South Florida and along the Gulf Coast should be ready for some heavy weather, with Tropical Storm Gordon moving into the area. Could be arriving tomorrow. Maximum sustained winds were clocked at about 45 miles an hour as of this morning. Brazil's National Museum, so strapped for cash that it turned to crowdfunding to reopen an exhibition that closed after a termite infestation. Officials sought at least $7,000 earlier this year on a crowdfunding site to rebuild a base that held a 13-yard-long dinosaur skeleton. The institution's precarious financial situation came to light as criticism flew around today about who may have been responsible for a devastating fire at the museum that destroyed at least half of its collection last night. The financial markets are closed today for the Labor Day holiday. They will reopen trading tomorrow on Wall Street. This is SRN News.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison? Why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to WTRJ The Truth and the inspiring and informative programs we feature. We partner with ministries in this community, nationally, and even globally, to bring you the programs you hear. The program content is produced by these ministry partners and does not necessarily reflect the positions or views of other ministry partners, WTRJ The Truth owners, management, or employees in every instance. We trust that you're blessed by the programs you hear, and thanks for listening to WTRJ The Truth.
Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show, hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Well, good day. This is John Beener. You're listening to Inspiration 316. I'm very excited you've joined us today because we got another great show here today. We do a lot of time and energy to try to find the right audio clips. We're talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. If you're checking in on the bad news of who shot who or who bombed who or who raped who or whatever, that's not us. We are not talking about that because there's so much more good news of Jesus Christ. Everyday miracles happening in people's lives, whether they know him or not. God is working all around the world. Yes, he works through wars. He works through chaos. He works through elections. He does all kinds of good things. He's leading us. We're going to talk about that later, but let's get a little bit of insight here on some of the outtakes we've got here on the show. We've got Faith Hill with Oprah Winfrey to start out. Mac Powell, who is actually the lead singer for a Christian group called Third Day, one of my favorite groups, and an interesting story about family. Brian Welch actually was part of Korn. That's a heavy metal rock group. And then we've got our sponsor, Dick Erickson. Thank God for him, Sun Tire. And then we have Alice Cooper. Can you believe that he came to Jesus Christ? Again, hard rock performer. We're gonna follow up with Third Day again. I need a miracle. Incredible. This whole show, if you haven't caught on yet, is all about how God can use music, not only music to penetrate your heart, but music to influence people and to change them and mold them, you know, and even allow them to go astray, you know, through the grace of God, and then God to draw them back into his fullness, into relationship with him. That's what we're talking about, the good news of Jesus Christ. So this first story is about from the Oprah Winfrey show, and this is Faith Hill, who was about to be on the Oprah Winfrey show, and she had heard her saying earlier, "I surrender all," and Oprah was totally touched by that, and so she tells the story before she introduces Faith Hill, who then starts to sing the song. But So we're going to capture both of those pieces. But it's really interesting about how Oprah is very committed to Christ at the right times in her life anyway. People question how a deeper faith is because of other things that she's encountered with people she has on the show. But in this moment, you're going to hear a lot of the depth of her faith coming through with this. Let's listen in.
When I wanted to be in The Color Purple, which is now, it's 20 years ago, I wanted to be in The Color Purple. Mm-hmm. And I had auditioned for The Color Purple, and I, 2 months later, I call back and they say, well, no, we have real actresses. We have real actresses who've auditioned for this part. And I was so hurt, and I was, you know, very much overweight, and I had been praying and praying and praying and praying to get this role. And after I heard that other people, real actresses, I thought it's not going to happen. And I thought it's because I'm fat and it's because I thought this was the moment for me. So I go to this fat farm, this health retreat, to try to lose 50 pounds in 2 weeks. So I'm there and I said to God, this is too heavy for me. This is too much. I've wanted it. I've become obsessed with it. I want this role so much. So I go out on the track and I start praying and I say, I don't think it's going to happen, God. I really don't think it's going to happen for me. But will you take it, take this from me, this obsession, this desire, this thing that I feel like I can't go on unless I get this role. And I started singing, I Surrender All. Wow. I started praying and singing. I started going around the track singing, I Surrender All. And I prayed and I sang and I prayed and I sang and I prayed and I sang and I cried. I prayed and I sang and I cried. And when I finally, you know, there's a difference between praying and then getting up and taking the prayer with you. Mm-hmm. I prayed until Jesus came down and he took it. I literally surrendered it. I literally surrendered it. I got up, I left the track, I thought, okay, I can move on now. I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna be okay. And I started to turn to walk back into the cafeteria, naturally. And this woman comes running out the door and she says, there's a phone call for you. It's Steven Spielberg.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And that was really, in that moment was when I came to know what mm-hmm. it meant to surrender versus just kind of talking about it.
Right.
I got on the phone and Steven says, I hear you're at a fat farm. And I go, no, sir, it's a health retreat. And he said, if you lose a pound, you could lose this part. And so I stopped at the Dairy Queen on the way. Just to make sure. But since that time, you know, I Surrender All is one of my favorite songs.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and I heard that last night during rehearsal, you were singing I Surrender All. I go, that is my song. So would you do that for us?
Oh,
would you do
yes,
it? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender, freely give I will ever love. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. Blessed Savior, I surrender all. to Jesus I surrender. May me Savior holy thou. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know.
Again, that was Faith Hill singing on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Amazing story. If you missed part of it, she kept referring to Color Purple. That was a movie that was done probably, now she said 20 years ago, I think she said. But anyway, that Oprah Winfrey got the part to play in the movie after she was rejected. But it was only after she surrendered it all, the pressure of wanting it so badly to Christ, and whether or not he would have it happen or not was out of her hands. She gave it to God. That's what God wants. He wants us to be obedient to him, to let go and let him, let go and let God, you know, take the pressure off yourself. Give it all to the Lord. You know, give your life to the Lord and you'll be fruitful. You'll enjoy the spirit of truth, the spirit of love, peace, and joy. That's the fruit of the spirit, the Bible says. We had tremendous stories the other day of Pete Maravich surrendering it all after 30 years of phenomenal basketball career and then giving it up to Christ and having his whole life transformed from the inside out, because we all have a body, soul, and spirit. It's a spirit that's restless. And, of course, the soul is confused. It's the mind, intellect, personality, will, and emotion. It gets all tied in knots if we don't let go and let the Creator, God, who created you and me, step in and guide us and give us peace, love, and joy. Anyway, great story, exciting stuff. This next one is about Max Powell. Mac Powell, he is the lead singer of Third Day. It's a Christian music group that has been really strong. It's probably been one of the lead, won a lot of Emmys, all these kinds of things. And he was touched as a family member. They have three kids, and they really were touched by other people that they should adopt. And they have. They've adopted two other kids. At this point in time, he's being interviewed on stage by a good friend of his talking about adoption. But what it did is it helped to lead to a song that's become very, very pronounced and very famous called Children of God. And what happens is, so we're going to share some of what is on Mac Powell's heart about adoption. In fact, I think they dedicated that concert to the whole notion of adoption, helping adoption agencies. But the Children of God, they eventually, when they did this, they had the kids singing along. They were adopted in about five or six different families, and they had a big T-shirt that said adopted. I'll tell more about it at the end of this, but let's dig into it with Mac Powell being interviewed. He, again, lead singer with Third Day.
Ladies and gentlemen, the lead singer of a little band called Third Day, Mac Powell.
Hey guys, how you doing?
So, we're kind of on this orphan thing, and now we're square into adoption, as you've probably figured out. And the reason we've had Mac come by today is because, Mac, you and your wife Amy have three biological children, but recently welcomed a fourth, a beautiful little guy named Emmanuel. Talk about how adoption entered into your mind and heart?
Right. Well, when Amy and I dated in high school, we actually talked about when we eventually get married, we might adopt. So it's always been something that we talked about. About 5 years ago, we really started seriously talking about it and thinking about it and praying for it. And then as of recently, I think it was about May of last year is when we said, okay, we're going to actually do something about this now. Went to our very first meeting about adoption and met with Bethany Christian Services. And they did a wonderful job of sharing information with us and letting us know about the children, not only all around the world, but also here in the States that needed homes. And so we actually, it took us a few months, and we, around August of last year, we started having our first meetings with Bethany and having some classes about adoption. And as we were going through the process, we have many friends who have adopted and encouraged us to do the same. And we've seen how these children have changed their lives and their families' lives and have been encouraged so much by these people who have set that example for us and shown us how wonderful adoption can be that we said, okay, we've got to do this. And so we started making those steps. And many of those friends have gone years before they actually got their child. Some of them, it took 2 weeks. And so we had no idea where in that spectrum it would be for us. We figured that doing adopting domestically, it would be a shorter amount of time, but you never know. And we went through a process of about 6 months. And at the time, it felt like a long time. But when we finally got our little boy in February of this year, it was like, wow, that was quick.
That's right.
So it's an amazing process.
Free from the judgment that we deserve, so we are called the children of God. Great is the love that the Father has given us. He has delivered us. He has delivered us, children of God. Sing your song and rejoice.
I love how that ends. That song, you can get on YouTube. Of course, the song itself, they follow up with these kids that are adopted through different families again, and they bring their together, and they're all, the kids are all singing together, and they've got these T-shirts on that say adopted to them. And then the other family, the parents come in, and they take off their shirts, and underneath is a T-shirt that says adopted. And so we're all adopted by God into the family of God. You know, we're grafted in as Jesus Christ has done through us and through the blood of Jesus. We are children of God, all of us. So again, story of Mac Brown. He says that a lot of his songs mostly come from his kids as well as King David in the Old Testament. All the things and the crying out that King David did to God, you know, was part of the inspiration for many of his songs. And so the kids probably inspired them. But this song comes about in honoring that whole thing of adoption and their heart, probably brought on by their kids. Mom, Dad, can we adopt a child, a brother or sister? You know what I mean? And because obviously it's a great thing to do, a great thing for their family. Obviously they have the wealth enough to handle many kids, but it's God has a plan for each of us, right? We're adopted into his kingdom. If we follow him and we learn his ways and we come to surrender to him, not just go to church and good religious experience and morals and values and friends and neighbors and good teachings on Sunday, but actually a personal commitment, a being born again experience, a spirit of God coming into us, fulfilling the emptiness that's in our spirit. It doesn't happen just by going to church. Just like it doesn't happen if you sat in a garage, you're not going to just become a car either. You know, you have to work at it. You have to surrender because God has the plan and the keys to do it. He's got the way to have it done, to get fullness of God, assurance of getting to heaven, assurance of fruitfulness in your life, even through the ups and downs and the pains and sorrows of things that will happen in our lives no matter what. God has a plan. He's working in us, through us. Anyway, inspiring song, Children of God, Third Day, another one of my favorite groups. Now we've got a story of Brian Welch. He's an amazing story. He and another guy were founders of a metal, hard metal rock group called Korn, K-O-R-N. Never heard of it myself, but anyway, I discovered his founding, searching through music and again, writers and singers. It's a heavy metal rock band, and again, which they really took off like a rocket. I mean, they just went boom, boom, boom for many, many, many years. Record sales went through the ceiling, and they just were dumbfounded. And of course, what did they do? Like a lot of rock bands, they lived on drugs and alcohol, and their wives did the same thing. And when they had a child, when Brian did, he and his wife had a child, they tried to stop. Finally, the wife leaves him through the whole turmoil of it all. Can you imagine that? Heavy metal rock traveling the country, and his wife leaves him with their only child. Let's listen in and tell the story and find out what Brian's experience was all about.
I panicked. I mean, nothing. My rock star dream, my money, nothing, none of my power, none of my gangster friends could stop that trauma from happening.
Eventually, Brian won custody of Janaea, but that started a tug of war in his heart. He wanted to take care of his daughter, but hated exposing her to the wild party life of Korn.
How could you leave a huge band that's like one of the biggest bands, like it's coming around, rock bands that changed like music, you know? It's like, how can you leave that? But how can I not be there for my daughter?
As Brian agonized over his decision, he dove deeper and deeper into drugs and alcohol. Then one day, he heard his daughter singing a Korn song.
When I heard Janaea singing a Korn song called Adidas, it stands for All Day I Dream About Sex. It's like a party song, you know. And when she sang that, you know, she didn't know what she was singing, but it was like, what am I doing to my kid, you know? I felt like a loser, the biggest loser in the world. And that's when, around the time when I was having those thoughts, you know, I'm no good for this kid, you know.
During that time, Brian went into real estate with two partners who happened to be Christians. They never troubled Brian with their faith until...
At one point, you reached out to them. What happened? What made you reach out to them? And because you knew where they were Christians.
They actually reached out to me.
Through an email, Brian told his partners how his life was falling apart. One of them replied with a verse from the Bible. "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest."
And I was like, could Jesus be real? I was thinking that in my mind. Is this guy not just a goody-goody? Could there really be a God? And is he calling me? And I was like, I looked up that scripture and I wanted it to be true.
Eventually, Brian went to church with him.
So we went to the service and the music came on and all these people went up to the front, started praying. And I was like, this place is weird. But I was drawn. I felt something going on. He said, does anybody want to receive Christ? And I did it for myself. I was like, and I said the prayer, went home, rolled up a $100 bill, laid out a big line of speed, snorted it, and said, I remember it perfectly too. I was clear. And I said, Lord, if you're real like that guy says, please take these drugs from me. I can't quit. I want to do them, but I want to stop.
Brian snorted speed and read the Bible for a week, searching for answers. Then one day...
And I felt this peaceful presence, and I started shaking a little bit, and I got goosebumps everywhere. And the first thing I felt was, I love you. And I was like, Father, I was frozen. I said, Father. And I was like, this is God. And then it went away, but it was so real. It took over the high. And when it went away, the drugs just was, my mind was like, that was just drugs or something. That wasn't real. That wasn't God. And so I did drugs all night long. The next day, I woke up and I had a feeling to go to my Bible. I opened it up and I pointed and it said, the soul who sins is the soul who will die. And to me right then, I was like, I felt like God told me right there, I revealed myself to you last night. It's time for you to stop the drugs. It's time for you to be done. And I just was consumed with fear. I was like, I went and grabbed all my drugs and threw them in the toilet and just said, I'm done, God. I'm yours now. I'm yours. And it's the last time I did drugs.
That's pretty major for that to happen, for somebody to be on drugs for so long.
Yeah. It was a miracle.
And to be totally clean.
At that same time in 2005, Brian split from Korn and sent the music world into a spin. Brian, on the other hand, was baptized in the Jordan River and started his new journey.
Well, how did it feel to be released from Korn?
To tell you the truth, God was real. He revealed himself to me. He kept revealing himself to me. And I felt his presence at my house. He's speaking through my kid. Like, just all this crazy stuff was happening, and that's all that mattered to me. I was like, okay, that band stuff, the stardom, the money, everything, it doesn't matter anymore. It's God. It was so real that I was like, I don't care what I do the rest of my life.
How about that for a story? Is that amazing? God, he got goosebumps. He heard the voice, I love you. In the midst of all this battle that's going on, Satan was trying to keep him on drugs, keep him in his own self-will, his pity parties, his frustrations, his anxieties, his fears. But God was starting to consume his heart, and he finally flushed it all the drugs down the toilet. You know, to get somebody off drugs that quickly is not heard of very often. Obviously, God can do it. He's the only one that can really do that. It's an amazing experience. Again, that was Brian Keith, co-founder of the heavy metal rock group called Korn. This is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. We're talking today about how God can use music. We got a lot more to come, but this is Cindy Pearson leading us out with He Leadeth Me. Then we take a break, get some news. We'll be back soon.
The depth of the wave is equal to the height of the wave that goes before it. Oftentimes, after a mountaintop experience, there's a valley that comes. We not only know that because the scripture teaches it, we know it because it happens to us.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, In Search of the Savior, next time on Turning Point.
Thank you for listening to WTRJ The Truth and the inspiring and informative programs we feature. We partner with ministries in this community, nationally, and even globally, to bring you the programs you hear. The program content is produced by these ministry partners and does not necessarily reflect the positions or views of other ministry partners, WTRJ The Truth owners, management, or employees in every instance. We trust that you're blessed by the programs you hear, and thanks for listening to WTRJ The Truth.
Well, welcome back. This is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. Thanks for joining us. We're coming back with Cindy Pearson. He leadeth me. Again, this is John Beaner, Inspiration 316. Thanks for joining us. Hey, we've been talking about music today. If you missed it earlier, we had Faith Hill and Oprah Winfrey. I surrender all. Can you believe that? Some people don't think Oprah's really a Christian. But hey, all of us have got issues. We're still all sinners. You can still be a Christian and still make mistakes, right? Still be misled, still get pulled back by God. God has a plan. That we had Mac Powell, who's the lead singer for Third Day Children of God, about adoption. Brian Welsh, who again headed up, was the co-founder of a metal, heavy metal rock group called Korn. We're going to take a short time with our sponsor here again, Dick Erickson with Sun Tire. We're thankful for his help in making this show possible. Let's listen in to some of the things that he's done to help in the community and be a servant leader.
The listeners more about your views about supporting the community and giving and being directed toward by God in terms of the things you do to be effective in business, and share some of your thoughts on that for us, can you?
Well, I think, John, thank you. We're happy to support what you're doing here, and I think we all have certain talents, and it appeared after a while that maybe mine was in fact running a business. And part of knowing whether you're doing well in business, or if you're in business, you should be making a profit. And then how do we deal with profits? And then the income that I derive from running the business, how do we deal with that once we take care of the staples and, you know, as we get started? So anyhow, when I finally came to the realization that I'm really a steward of the assets that I'm working with every day, and it's for the good Lord that we're doing this, and if I'm open to him directing me, you know, kind of die to myself, and it isn't Dick Erickson, is how am I led to deal with his assets? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of conflict in that at times, you know. Yeah. Everyone wants their
fair, in the world, yes,
yeah, in the is. World, you yeah. know, I want this and they want that, yeah. and I want more pay and different things, and how we run our business to be in properly aligned to what the Lord wants us to do, and that's a constant in prayer or whatever, you know,
seeking.
Seeking.
Yeah, I understand.
So,
yeah.
There's some people that can give, it's more of a time element, or they're supporting in different ways of what the Lord needs. Mm-hmm. And ours is that I sense is dollar and cents sometimes. What can we give to the needs out there? Mm-hmm. And so as we, here I am 72 and probably should be out of this type of business, or out of business, but I'm still motivated to stay with it. And as the business has continued to grow, we've had more of his assets to share out through our charity work and things of that
opportunities,
sort.
Opportunities, yeah, to do that. And I know you share your profitability with your employees. And so when we talked earlier, you said there's over 40 different ministries and nonprofits that you support through their efforts in the community. That's pretty phenomenal. And encourage your employees to do the same thing with the revenues they get and such.
And we're in an industry that it isn't a high-paid industry as far as some of the worker bees, and so we know that they're limited on what they can do, but if we can, in fact, take some of the assets of the company to pay them properly,
right.
But still, how we utilize the funding of the assets to ensure that we're supporting what's heaviest on our heart, my heart, my wife's heart, you know, is to evangelize. How can we support the things that where people are out talking about the good Lord doing things and to support those people, whether it's missionaries. We've got a couple of missionaries that we do monthly support of. And that's not, I haven't found it easy at times to make sure I'm, you know,
doing the right thing. Sure. Well, yeah. That's understandable. And there's a lot of people probably approach you for help, you know, and I know you're involved in a lot of community-wide organizations. Sulzbacher, you mentioned, is one of the Catholic Charities. Even you're on the board of the St. Vincent's Foundation Hospital, right?
Right.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other ministries, nonprofits that you help support. But thank you for doing that. And thank you again for being sponsor of this show. Appreciate that.
Well, we're happy to be a part of that. And, you know, I think, again, this is another part of our utilizing the good Lord's assets here to something that hopefully will grow his kingdom.
Yep. Amen. That's right. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yep.
So you're saying that good businessmen that call themselves Christians ought to be doing some of the same things. They ought to be given to their church and they ought to be given to the community any way that they can. It may not always be in money, but it can be at least in time or energy, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's all his anyhow. And I mean, sometimes we take, you know, people, I've been surely guilty of that, taking possession, you know, I, but it's not. And then whether it's my time, you know, or the assets that I'm in charge of making sure they're properly looked after, you know.
That's a good steward. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very good. Well, thank you again. Appreciate your insight on all of that. Thank you.
You
again,
bet,
for
John.
Being sponsor and supporting us.
Appreciate what you're doing.
Again, Dick Erickson, SunTire, we appreciate. You know, we're on a nonprofit station here, and they're donating the funds to be able to help put this show on the air along with other groups and ministries, and we're thankful for them. And they don't require a lot of time in terms of explaining their services and such, but they're good people and deserve our support to help make this show viable and possible. We're talking today about music, you know, how God has used music, does use music, obviously touches every one of us with music in some form or fashion. Hey, I was in the Glee Club in college, but I can't sing worth a darn right now. I don't even try anymore other than I can hymn along or I can sing in the background of a lot of good music that I play when I'm exercising. It really helps me get the time to go faster. His exercise is my most favorite activity. Alice Cooper, have you ever heard of him? Well, he's been in a lot. He's very famous in the last, I guess, 20 years or so, really. Hard rock, again, heavy metal type band. You know, his story is hard to believe when you think about some of the lyrics and the songs that they've sing. They almost sound like they are satanic in some ways. But if you listen to his story, this is amazing because he came to Christ again. He was as a young man, he says. Let's listen to his story. He was raised in the church, too. Let's listen to his story.
You know, I'm the prodigal son, for one thing. I am the perfect example of the prodigal son. My dad was a pastor. My grandfather was an evangelist. Actually, both my dad and my grandfather were evangelists. And my wife's father is a Baptist pastor. So I grew up in the church, and all of my friends were church kids. I had so much fun. I mean, I was in church on Sunday, Wednesday night, Friday nights. I mean, all my social life was based around kids in the church. And that was great. And it got to high school, and all of a sudden, the Beatles came out. And I went, oh, well, that's kind of, you know, and I was a natural mimic anyways. So I watched the Beatles, and I said, well, that would be fun to do. Being in a hit band with hit records and is getting as big as we got is like winning the lottery about three times. It just doesn't happen. You know, we were definitely the underdogs in the whole thing, and we kept going, well, we're never going to make it. This is fun, you know, to do this, and then we'll go get real jobs. And we kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden, there we were. You know, and then on top of it, being creative, I looked around and I went, there's no villains in rock and roll. Why not create rock's ultimate villain? You know, and still without thinking, well, why the hell would that bother? It wouldn't affect my faith at all. You know, the Bible's full of villains. You know, I'll be this villain. And I gave Alice his perimeter, you know, his areas where he wouldn't go past. And I still find songs that from the first albums that are totally got Christian, all kinds of Christian bywords going all the way through it, yeah. You know, because it comes out of you what's in you.
Yeah, yeah.
So songs like Second Coming and things like that were all pretty much always warning about Satan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's really the core kind of message that's in the music, isn't it?
It always has been.
Yeah.
And the weird thing was, even though my image was the most scary, I terrified TBS, I think. Because of, first of all, they never heard my songs. I guarantee you. Mm-hmm. They never actually listened to my songs. Because almost everything I wrote was good and evil. Don't pick evil.
Yeah.
You know, even when I wasn't Christian, I was saying that. You know, God and the devil. Don't pick the devil. It's a bad idea. You know. But, you know, all they saw was the image. All they saw was, and that was okay.
We've all heard of the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. What is the gospel according to Alice? If you were to summarize the message that so influenced your life, what would it be?
If it says that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, then that means it. If it's, I don't believe this stuff where it's all, well, you know, it's just kind of, those are all parables and they meant this. And no, I say if it says it, it meant it. You know, and people will laugh at me and say, well, you know, I mean, you can't really believe that. And I go, well, if I can believe that God created the world and created everything in it, why wouldn't I believe a simple thing like that? That's not a hard thing. You know, the very fact that he cared enough about me to save my life about 20 times, you know, and help me survive a million different things to put me where I am now. And then the challenge I have now, being a Christian in the rock business. You know, he kind of put me in the Philistines, in the camp of the Philistines, which is okay.
Yeah, what's that like?
Well, you have to live your life every day. You have to live your faith, you know. I mean, I'm living in a world that's not my world. I know that. But I live in it, and I try to live my faith every day in it. If I can live, that's my testimony. I don't need to be going out. If somebody mentions, you know, my faith, I definitely talk about it. In interviews and things like that. I mean, I'm very open about it. I'm never under a quilt about who I am. But I'm not going to be the one that says, now sit down, I'm going to tell you about this. I'm not going to be the car salesman.
It seems like you'd rather live out your life like everybody else than have to live up to someone else's standard of what a celebrity Christian should be like.
If I walk outside and I make a mistake, all of a sudden my Christianity goes down the toilet. What people don't realize, when you become a Christian, does not make it any easier. It makes it harder. It makes your life harder. It makes your soul at ease with God because you know where you're at with Him. It doesn't make your social life or your normal life in America any easier. In fact, it puts you under the microscope. Sometimes I think that, you know, TV evangelism is one of Satan's greatest weapons. They put these guys on a pedestal, and all of a sudden they get caught with a prostitute, and every Christian I know then is under the gun.
Right.
So you don't think that that's kind of set up?
Reverse.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You know, the devil is very smart. He's not going to come out with the horns and the tail. He's going to come in as the slickest car salesman you ever saw. You know, and I've seen some pretty slick pastors on TV. Now, that's not to say they're all like that. I mean, I love Sproul. I love Stanley, Charles Stanley. There's a lot of guys there that I'll sit and I'll listen to and I'll go, okay, yeah, right on, dead on the middle, you know, I got it. But every time I hear something that goes a little left of center, you know, what was that? You know, too much healing on TV, I don't know about that. That's showbiz, I think.
In 1995, you and your friend, Pastor Chuck Saval, started the Solid Rock Foundation, which has donated over $1 million so far to worthy causes worldwide. Tell us a little bit about how you made that decision and what Solid Rock is all about.
I believe if you give kids a chance, they've got creative stuff going on in them all day. If they get home from school, a kid's got his books, he's 13, he's going home from school, his dad's a crack dealer, his mom is on the street somewhere, brother and sister are both gangbangers, And this kid's going, I don't have much of a choice here, do I? Well, let's give them a choice. Let's give them a place to go where they can go learn guitar. They can learn bass. They can learn how to write lyrics. It can be vocational. They can play basketball. Yeah. They can do any of that stuff under the guidance of Christian businessmen and Christian people that don't want anything from them. We don't say, okay, now you have to learn these Bible verses. We're not asking anything. All we're there to do is to take care of them.
Amazing story. Alice Cooper, you wouldn't think that his father was a pastor and his grandfather was an evangelist, would you? But he's really saying, and it does make some sense. If you listen to his lyrics, you don't listen to him. It's so loud and hard, I don't know how you do that. But if you read his lyrics anyway, you get there is, yes, he's talking about a battle between good and evil. And really what God is all about in the world is changing the world. But it's, you know, and through the sound and the system and the culture that's created around that whole Alice Cooper group makes it a little less appealing to the typical Christian. But God can use all kinds of people, right? Can he take bad and turn it into good? I mean, can he take Paul, who was beating the Jews and wanting to murder them, and can Christ take him and turn him into a disciple, a man who's probably wrote 20 or 25% of the whole New Testament, maybe more, and used by the Holy Spirit? Yes, he can. He could take anyone. You know, we've had people on this show that were involved in a mafia. You know, we've had all kinds of people, again, that God has turned around and turned and changed into goodness, into righteousness, and helped change the world for goodness. God is in the change business. He's in the miracle business. You know, he said he was saved 20 times from things that could have killed him through the rock era of Alice Cooper. I don't think he's as high on the charts anymore right now, but he said, I've been living in a world that is different than the true world. The true world is of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God and the eternal life that we're all longing to have a part of and be in one day. But this is about the music industry. Again, this is John Beaner. You listen to Inspiration 316. We're talking about how God is using music to change people and inspire people, you know, actually bring people back to him. God can do it in all kinds of ways. That's his job, his responsibility. He created us in the first place, so he has an obligation to reach out to. And, of course, many of us have been reached out to, but we turned our ways. You turned away from him rather than to him. Let's listen in here to Mac Powell again, the lead singer for Third Day. And they're doing a miracle tour testimony. This is a phenomenal story. We've got two pieces we're putting here together, and this is a story of Mac on stage in a concert in Louisville. They call it a miracle concert, and he's talking about ministering through song on the radio. There's a young man, again, he's going to describe it here, who's ready to kill himself, but comes on the radio as a song. Now, this is recorded by someone in the audience, believe it or not, on probably their cell phone. And so there's some little breathing or coughing going on. That's part of what it is. But again, this is live stuff on stage. Then we're going to follow up with the song that this young man heard on the radio about to kill himself. And it's called I Need a Miracle. It'll grab a hold of your heart. If anything can, this will do it. So let's listen in.
Story about their son. Their son was in his early 20s, and he'd been dealing with depression his whole life. And he finally, a few years back, had gotten to a place where he was really at the end of his rope and felt like there was no hope in life. And so he decided he was going to end his life. He gets in his car, and he drives off by himself, kind of in the middle of nowhere. He goes away from the town that he lives in, and kind of just really in the middle of nowhere, and he finds this wooded area off the highway and actually gets his car into. So he drives down off the highway into this wooded area. And I know we got some young people here, so I won't go through the details of how he was going about doing this, but as he's going through the process of ending his life, he wants to hear some music, because he's a music fan. So he turns on the radio, and he because he's in the middle of nowhere, he's in the woods, he can't pick up any stations, and he tries several times unsuccessfully to pick up something. And finally, one radio station just comes through as clear as a bell, and when you know it, it's a Christian music station. But he wasn't as excited as y'all are. He was kind of mad about it, to be honest. And so his parents are telling this story. He hears a song on the radio. And he starts to listen. And the song that's playing is a song that we just sang a few minutes ago, Cry Out to Jesus. And he hears those words, there is hope for the helpless. There's rest for the weary. There's love for the broken heart. There's grace and forgiveness and mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Right then and there, just moments before he takes his life, or plans to anyway, he prays, he asks God to come into his heart, come into his life and save him, to bring him hope, to bring him peace, to bring him a new life. And he decided right after that to not end his life. And his parents are sharing the story with us. Of course, we got, amen, we got tears in our eyes. I said, in fact, his life has changed so much, he's a huge Third Day fan. He can't be at this concert tonight because he's overseas in Asia and he's ministering to people who've gone through some of the same things he's gone through.
She started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are and no matter what you've done, time when you can make it on your own, and then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle. He lost his job and all he had in the fall of, now he feared the worst, that he would lose his children and his wife. So he drove down deep into the woods and thought it ended all, and prayed, Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are and no matter what you've done, there will come a time when you can make it on your own. And if you're found a miracle.
Fabulous song, huh? What a story. Again, if you missed it, it's an amazing story of a young man ready to kill himself, driving to the end of his road. Finally, he says, I don't know if he had a gun with him or what he was going to do. They don't tell that part. But anyway, he said, I'll listen to one more song or something on the radio while I'm here all by myself. Right. It gets me choked up thinking about it, really. And he turns on. It's like God's never really late. You know what I mean? He's slow in my mind sometimes, but he's never really late. And God intervenes with the station coming through. Was that a miracle in itself? Because he can't find any other station. Nothing else comes out. He's in the middle of nowhere, and there's no radio station waves coming through. And but there it comes, Christian radio, and there it is, a song, I Need a Miracle, just exactly what he needed. You can hear it, the last verse of that song, too. It sounds like they changed the verse to fit the gentleman who, again, decided to give it all to the Lord right there in the car, you know, out of desperation. Hey, I've been there, done that myself. You know, I wasn't going to commit suicide, but I was in a deep pickle, and God intervened. Again, this is John Beaner. You're listening to Inspiration 316. This has been an exciting show. We've been talking about how music influences the lives of people. Hey, in good circumstances and bad circumstances. We had heavy metal rock, two guys, Alice Cooper and Bryant Welch on that with Korn. And here we have Mac Powell with Third Day twice. And it's God's plan, you know. God has a purpose in people's lives, and he wants to change us, mold us, to be more like him, and to be like his son, to follow his ways. The beauty, the spirit of love, truth, and light is waiting for us if we just give it all to him. Again, John Beaner, Inspiration 316, the show, 91.7 The Truth, 45 each weekday. Thanks for joining us. Check out our website, inspiration316.com. Let's hear from you. God bless you. Appreciate you.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 show with John Beaner. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.
Thank you for joining us for Inspiration 316 and John Beaner. Coming up next, it's First Baptist Church of downtown Jacksonville here on listener-supported WTRJ, The Truth. Thank you for listening to WTRJ, The Truth and the inspiring and informative programs we feature. We partner with ministries in this community, nationally, and even globally to bring you the programs you hear. The program content is produced by these ministry partners and does not necessarily reflect the positions or views of other ministry partners, WTRJ The Truth owners, management, or employees in every instance. We trust that you're blessed by the programs you hear, and thanks for listening to WTRJ The Truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is escalating his attacks on Attorney General Jeff Sessions, suggesting the Department of Justice put Republicans in midterm jeopardy with recent indictments of two GOP congressmen. The president tweeted today that investigations of, quote, two very popular Republican congressmen were brought to a well-publicized charge just ahead of the midterms by the Jeff Sessions Justice Department. A court in Myanmar sentenced two Reuters journalists to 7 years in prison on charges of illegal possession of official documents. It's a ruling that comes as international criticism mounts over the military's abuses against Rohingya Muslims. The two had been reporting on the brutal crackdown on the Rohingya when they were arrested and charged with violating the colonial-era Official Secrets Act in that country. Asian shares were mostly lower amid worries about escalating trade frictions between the U.S. and Canada. Trading off for the day for Labor Day on Wall Street. This is SRN News.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position.